myself a 40, I've got myself a shorty, and I'm about to go and stick it. Yes, I'm about to go and stick it.
Wheelie back selector. Wu-Tang, I'm sorry, if you've been listening since 7 a.m., you can tell I've been watching that Wu-Tang biopic on Hulu. And I've been enjoying the Wu-Tang wet dream, the Wu-Tang fantasy. My wife keeps telling me, because we watching that Wu-Tang story, and she keeps telling me just relax and enjoy it. Now, it's taking me back because I was living in New York in that era, in the early 90s. Y'all was grimy in the early 90s, far behind me. It ain't hard to find me. So I was there. And I was deeply into hip hop. In fact, when I graduated high school, I had a few options. I could have moved to Chicago and gone to DuPaul. I could have, of course, went downstate. But I chose, when I got accepted into SUNY, State University of New York in Brooklyn, I didn't even consider anywhere else. And a big part of going to New York City was it's the birthplace of hip hop. And it was everything I expected it to be. Like, I'd be roaming through Harlem eating a veggie or a gluten patty, and then Freddie Fox would just walk out in the middle of the street. Like, damn, there's Freddie Fox. You know, I got to see MC Shan battle KRS-One at Madison Square Garden. It was everything I expected it to be in the era of hip-hop. But again, this is 91, 92, 93. I couldn't call it now. If you're looking for a hip-hop experience, I don't know where to tell you to go. But I stayed in my studies. I did graduate. I finished school. But I was there. So the show really takes me back. You know, the low sweaters. You know what I'm saying? 8-ball jackets, Jabot jeans, and 40 Below Timbos. So I'm enjoying the show. I don't know how factual it is. I don't know how real RZA is being with it. You know, all the gangsterism and stuff. You know, most of these music cats. Because I know some industry insiders. Shout out to King Dita. I know some industry insiders. And most of these music cats, they chronicled things they saw going on. But they didn't participate. The musical dudes were the nerdy dudes. You know. Most of the real shotters, the real gangsters. But anyway, shout out to RZA and the Wu-Tang for putting out that, if nothing, engrossing and entertaining Wu-Tang bio show. I don't even know the actual name of it. What is it? Wu-Tang Saga? It's just mad interesting. They nailed ODB, whoever the casting director, they nailed ODB. And even though the dude that plays RZA on the show doesn't look much like RZA, he's got RZA's mannerism and disposition down. I mean, those young people in that. I don't really like the Method Man too much. The dude who plays Method Man doesn't really capture. But Method Man's like, you know, if you've ever seen him perform, he's like a magnetic dude. It's kind of hard to capture people sometimes. I like the cat, the little gummy cat that plays Raekwon. You know, it's a fun show. So if you ain't seen it, go check it out. I'm enjoying it. And, you know, I'm going back to listen to the whole Wu catalog. My favorite Wu album of all time was Liquid Swords by GZA the Genius. I think that is the best, most quintessential Wu-Tang. And I think GZA gets overshadowed by some of the larger personalities. It's kind of like N.W.A. MC Ren was the best MC in N.W.A., but he got overshadowed by the other cast that had larger personalities, but not quite the skills. So, you know, hip-hop became more about personalities and celebrity than actual skill long before today. But I still like it. The GZA character, again, I think they could have done better casting the GZA. But y'all end all, you know, this is Bro Diallo show. I'm the Grinch of Pan-Africanism, so I'm going to find a way to tear it down and play a hate on it. But I really like the show. I don't know why my mind's going to all the things that I think could have been done better, because overall, it's excellent. You know, 2 Black Fists. You know, no, 4 Black, 5 Black Fists. A good show, entertaining, historically accurate. I don't know. I don't know. It ain't what I saw. That ain't what the impression I got from those days in Brooklyn that Cats was doing Tech N9ne drive-bys on projects. You know, it just, I mean, drive-bys was a West Coast thing, but I could be wrong. I mean, Staten Island, I didn't mess with Staten Island too heavy. The Cats had to come across on the boat for me to see them. You know, I was mostly Brooklyn, a little bit of money-making Manhattan, Harlem. I didn't mess with Queens too tough, you know, except, you know, I liked the music coming out of Queens back then, but Nas and Mob and all them. But, you know, Queensbridge just turned me off to the bridge, you know, the bridge is over, turned me off to Queens back in the 80s before I could even find New York on a map. Anyway, if you're a hip hop head from the 90s, baby, like myself, if you're a hip hop cat and you want some type of trip down memory lane, that's the show right now. Even better than that other show Netflix produced about the origins of hip hop, which, you know, I don't know, take it or leave it. But this Wu-Tang thing, if you're a Wu-Tang, if you're a hip hop head, Bad Boy era, you know, conscious hip hop 5%er era, the golden era of hip hop, check out the Wu-Tang. Anyway, moving on. Speaking on East Coast hip-hop, Tekashi 6ix9ine, the moment we've all been waiting for, the Songbird, has taken to the stand. And I just find it ironic how all these rappers, all these celebrities are mad at Tekashi for snitching. And just a couple of months ago, earlier this year, all these same rappers that are like talking this gangster talk, talking about the G-Code, talking about the streets and how to handle it in the streets and how to keep it in the streets, was all had they Martin Luther King on, all singing non-violence, stop the violence, stop the crime, we need to come together, what's wrong with us, when Nipsey Hussle was gunned down in the street on some gang street G-Code stuff. And I didn't see the G-Code. Everybody was on the media singing like a bird. Snoop Dogg did not say, hey, that's the code of the street. It happened in the street. Keep it in the street. Snoop Dogg turned to Snoop X. Snoop Luther King. Denouncing violence. Talking about the gangs must come together. They singing all this flowery language. When one of their own get killed. And when I say one of their own, I don't mean black. When one of their own, when I say that, I mean tax bracket. When a rich black person gets killed. Now, the true death, the consequences of this gangster culture, the consequences of the gangster music, the real life consequences, premature death, bullet-riddled bodies, either death or crippled for life. And for every black youth that's gunned down and murdered in the street, there's a dozen black youth that are crippled for life, psychologically and physically traumatized for life. You come around the hood and you see these 18, 16, 17-year-olds remanded to wheelchairs. You know, blinded. For life. Because most people that get shot every week, if you look at the Chicago statistics weekly like I do, they'll say 25 shootings and 7 homicides. So those 7 people are gone, but the rest of those brothers and sisters are psychologically and physically traumatized, injured, damaged for life. And even though the statistics come, we had these rappers come out like, Chief Keef said, when I drop an album, the homicide rate goes up. And he didn't say that as a lamentation, as shameful. He said that to brag. He was bragging about that. So, I know they walk in contradictions. I know they don't make sense. But I think we don't just need to accept and drink down or swallow the contradictions. We need to raise the contradictions. We need to highlight, acknowledge, call out the contradictions. So, all the rappers, when they come out and say, oh, Tekashi 6ix9ine is snitch. We not a snitch in the street. It's like you can't have it both ways. You can't be G-Code when it's poor black people being terrorized and murdered. You can't be G-Code when it's poor black people being hounded, harassed by militarized police. You can't call G-code when whole economies of rural white America are built on the mass incarceration of black men and women. You can't call G-code then, but then you want to call social justice. You want to cry about unity and truces and stopping the violence and giving up the guns when it's a rich black person that dies. And what's even more tragic than these rich hypocritical idiots that come out and say that want to come to Memorial sunning yourself economically? As we know, there is no ethical consumption under capitalism. Even my wife and everything we do to sustain ourselves involves the exploitation of other people. All these instruments I'm using to broadcast revolution have coltan in them and made by pernicious, environmentally destructive corporations. So there's toxicity in everything we do. The clothes I wear, made in places. Let's just see the hat I wore today. Oh, they don't have where it's made. Made in China. Made in China, and more likely than not in a sweatshop by a person who's underpaid, undercompensated, that doesn't have adequate, same thing, but doesn't have the right to strike. At least when our employers screw us over, we can say, I quit, and go starve in the street. They say they quit, they get beat, incarcerated, and forced to work. So the only real masculinity I see for black men is revolution. There's so much more I want to say, but my time is I have to wrap up my time, and maybe we'll pick this up Monday, talking about what is black masculinity was lost in slavery and colonialism, and every black man, even the kind, gentle black men, have a bastardized Western version and concept of what it is to be a man and to be masculine, to provide. And what we have to do if we want humane masculinity, if we want African masculinity, if we want a viable masculinity, is what we're going to have to do as black people is to reconstruct our masculinity, redefine what it is, and re-aim it. Because even in one of the main things, as Dr. Bobby Rice said, behavior amongst human primates is established and maintained by its consequences. One of the primary reasons why toxic masculinity persists is because it's very profitable. It's because it will help you to achieve. And even though on social media we condemn toxic masculinity, you take toxic masculinity into the corporate boardroom, you take it onto the football field or the basketball field, you take it into these streets like Shoddy, toxic masculinity is very, very profitable. If you want to be a good capitalist, you better be a toxic man. Even if you're a woman, you better adopt some toxic. And we don't even have to speculate about this. We know black men and black women who achieve in capitalism. Beyonce had to go overseas and set up a sweatshop in Bangladesh and use underage, malnourished workers to make her Ivy Park clothing line. But hey, everybody mad at Beyonce. Y'all remember what's that lady's name that was on the morning show, Good Morning America? That crazy lady. And she had a fashion line for her daughter, and it was the exact same story. That was like 20, 30 years ago. It's the same cycle. Ain't a damn thing changed. If you want to be Beyonce, you better be willing to exploit the labor of third world sweatshops. You better be willing to sign a contract with the NFL that facilitates toxic and promotes toxic masculinity, jingoism, and imperialism, and has rapists and abusers on payroll, and turn these rapists and abusers into worldwide megastars. You better be willing to sit across the table and sign on the dotted line if you want to get ahead. So how can you defeat toxic masculinity and not fight against capitalism? And a lot of these sisters and brothers want it both ways. I know one sister I was talking about toxic masculinity online. She had some issues. She said men are toxic because they want to be. And I asked her to support that assertion, and she didn't. She's just like, I know, you just toxic because you want to be. It's got nothing to do with societal. And said that I was making excuses when I'm trying to suggest solutions. But on her profile page, she had like literally billions of dollars of money. Like, she wants to get a whole lot of money. She wants to get a whole lot of money. So I want to get paid and be non-toxic, when literally the economy is polluting the environment, polluting the minds of other people. So black masculinity is bastardized white masculinity. And in order to have non-toxic black men, we have to have revolution. The only way to be non-toxic, if you read Wretched of the Earth, it says you, your identity, your humanity manifest in your resistance. So if we can start to frame things in this fact to say, hey, this behavior feeds our liberation and attacks our oppression. This behavior validates our oppression. If we start to define things in that way, not only will we get better quality men, we'll get better quality food, clothing, housing, shelter, better quality overall social relations. But to define black masculinity in a pigeonhole, it lets a whole lot of other toxicities off the hook. And we really have to stop with this, you a broke ass nigga versus you're a toxic man. Because to be non-toxic means that you're going to struggle financially. If you have issues saying, hey, I'm going to get out here and do the right thing. I'm not going to prey upon other people. I'm not going to exploit other people. I'm going to try to do as minimal amount of harm and aggression towards other people. Then you've just knocked yourself out of 90% of jobs and income streams under capitalist system. You can't be a cop. You can maybe be a fireman, but really you can't even be a fireman because there's heavy discrimination in that. And firemen unions are one of the most racist unions across all countries. I mean, across all counties in this country. So all I want people to do, because I believe you are valid when you say masculinity is toxic. There is toxic elements of masculinity. My main argument is if your analysis isn't holistic and your solution isn't revolutionary, you're perpetuating toxicity. And what you're going to do is you're going to have black men abandon toxic masculinity just to go be toxic capitalist, toxic Christian, toxic Muslims, toxic fathers, toxic femininity. You know, toxic gender neutrality, toxicity. And I'm not even saying that to stop. Yes, there is toxic. And when your homeboys are acting out, catcalling, all of that, stand up and challenge them. Say, hey, man, this is wrong for the individual. And it's subversive. I mean, you're eroding our community cohesion, man. We got to start putting things in revolutionary context and terms. And I didn't get halfway through my notes. I probably spent a little bit too much time on that teachers union thing, but it's very important. Again, if you're having any ailment or any health crisis today, you definitely want to try to avoid going to University of Chicago unless you're going there. But if you got some time, which I plan to do, go by and express your solidarity and support for the teachers union. No, that's a few weeks. You're going to have to be standing in the street with the teachers. Right now, it's the nurses. Everybody's striking. I think if we had a general strike, we could overthrow capitalism without throwing one rock or shooting one bullet. The depth of our solidarity is directly proportional to the reduction in our suffering. Anyway, I got to wrap this up. I'm going, thank you for everyone who made a contribution on the Super Chat. I see y'all and I definitely appreciate y'all, and I'm only going to be here because of y'all and my other contributors. And I will be back Monday morning. Be safe. Q4 Radio, AM 1680. Again, go check out that Wu-Tang. It's good, y'all. Go check out that Wu-Tang show. I give it 4 black fists on the Wu-Tang. Maybe I'll start doing more reviews. But most of the stuff I like is corny, but this is something I like that I think is cool. Anyway, see y'all soon. Peace. Bro Diallo Show.
I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job. Had second hands. Moms bounced on old men. So then we moved to Shaolin Land. A young youth, you're rocking the gold tooth. Low goose. Only way I begin to G-York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. With this one and that one, pulling out gats for fun. But it was just a dream for the team who was a fiend. Started at 16 and running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes, making my way on fire skates. No question, I was speed for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question, I would flow off and try to get the dough off. Sticking up right boys on board. My life got no better. Same low. sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Figured out I went the wrong route, so I got with a sick tight click and went all out. Catching keys from cross seas, rolling in MPVs. Every week we made 40 G's. Yo, brothers respect mine, I ain't gonna take now. Bow, move from the gate now. Survival got me bugging, but I'm alive on arrival. I peep at the shape of the streets to stay awake to the ways of the world deep. A man with a dream with plans to make cream was fail. I went to jail at the age of 15, a young buck selling drugs and such, who never had much, trying to get a clutch on what I could not touch. The court played me short, now I face incarceration, facing, no one upstates my destination. Handcuffed in back of a bus, 40 of us. Life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough. But as the world turned, I learned life was living in the world no different from a cell. Every day I skate from takes, giving chase, selling bass, smoking bones in the staircase. Though I don't know why I chose to smoke cess, I guess that's the time when I'm not depressed. But I'm still depressed, and I ask, what's it worth? Ready to give up, so I seek the old earth. Who explain working hard may help you maintain, to learn to overcome the heartaches and pain. You got stick up kids, corrupt cops, crack rocks and stray shots, all in a block that stays hot. Leave it up to me while I be living proof to kick the truth to the young black youth. When shorties running wild, smoking cess, drinking beer, and ain't trying to hear what I'm kicking in his ear. Neglect it for now, but yo, it got